Hello and welcome to this week's local news podcast from Vero Beach and the Treasure Coast.
It's great to be here. You know, looking at the news for this week, it's not just one big story. It feels like a collision of different timelines all at once.
That is the perfect way to put it. It is Tuesday, February 10th, 2026. And yeah, we're looking at a week of extremes. We've got the slow grinding timeline of coastal erosion, then the bureaucratic timeline of road planning, and then you have this split second high explosive timeline of a rocket launch.
And we still have to figure out Valentine's Day dinner somewhere and all that. It really is a week that just, it screams Indian River County.
It does.
You've got the natural environment, high-tech expansion, and that small town community feel all happening at the same time.
Okay, so let's start with the most visible and frankly the most concerning story right now. If you've driven anywhere near Jetty Park or Hutchinson Island,
yeah,
you've seen it.
The heavy machinery.
Exactly. Heavy industrial machinery, which is something you never want to see on a beach.
No, that is never a good sign. We're talking about the emergency erosion control measures that are underway. City leaders in Fort Pierce, they had to initiate emergency protocols.
Because it's moved beyond just being a concern.
Oh, yeah. It's a full-on crisis.
Yeah.
This isn't just about the beach looking a little thinner. We are talking about severe erosion that is threatening actual infrastructure.
Roads, sidewalks.
Property. Exactly. When it gets to this stage, it undermines everything built behind that dune line. Uh-huh. It got so bad, they had to temporarily close Jetty Park Beach.
For safety.
For safety. You can't have people walking on ground that might just slide into the ocean.
And the impact is hitting local spots, too. The Island Beach Bar and Restaurant, which is a staple for a lot of people, they had to close their dune bar.
That's the outdoor area right on the sand.
Right. The main restaurant's still open, so they're still in business. But that, you know, that specific spot where you could sit with a drink and your feet in the sand.
It's gone for now.
Gone. The ground just isn't stable.
And that loss, that's really just a symptom of a much bigger planning failure.
Mm.
I think it's important to ask, you know, why is this happening now? Why is this an emergency?
Right. It shouldn't be. Beach nourishment is a part of life here. We pump sand. It washes away. We do it again. But this feels different.
It feels different because it is a reaction. There was a big comprehensive beach nourishment project already planned, a $15 million project of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay, and when was that supposed to happen?
It was originally scheduled for March of this year.
Next month.
Next month. But, and here is the real frustration, that project is a full year behind schedule.
A year? How does that happen?
Well, the delay comes down to the fact that a vendor wasn't secured in time last year. So because of an administrative gap, basically a poacher work failure.
The coastline was just left vulnerable.
For an entire extra year, through all the storms, the king tides, everything. So the natural timeline, it didn't wait for the bureaucratic timeline.
Of course not.
Nature doesn't care about contracts. So now, instead of that planned $15 million fix, the city is forced to spend $500,000 on an emergency patch job.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's a very expensive Band-Aid. They're just dumping sand to hold the line until the real project can finally get started.
Well, speaking of infrastructure and its challenges, let's move inland. There's a huge conversation happening about the southwest part of the county, specifically the Oslo Road Corridor.
Right. This is the growing pains part of our chat. If you live out that way, or even just drive on I-95, you know the landscape is changing.
The catalyst here is the new interchange at I-95 and Oslo Road. It's projected to open in 2027.
So next year.
Hmm.
And the golden rule is where the off-ramp goes, development follows. You can't just open a major interstate access point and expect things to stay quiet.
So the county is holding meetings to discuss expanding what they call the urban services area along that corridor.
And that term, urban services area, it sounds like boring jargon, but it's probably the most important phrase for a homeowner to know.
Because it's the boundary line for density.
It is. Inside that line, the county will provide water, sewer, paved roads. And once you have water and sewer,
you can build subdivisions, shopping centers, you name it.
Exactly. Outside that line, it's all well and septic, which naturally limits growth. So moving that line is like flipping a switch that says, okay, we are ready for major growth here.
And the conflict is pretty clear. The county and businesses see this as an economic engine, but the people who live there,
not so much. There's a real disconnect. We have a report from back in May of 2025 where they asked residents what they wanted for the area.
And the numbers were stark, weren't they?
They really were. The top preferences were preserving farmland and creating open spaces. And when asked what they didn't want, A quarter of them said no to increased building heights, and about a fifth said no to industrial development.
So you have a community that wants to stay rural, and you have an interstate interchange that basically screams logistics hub.
That is the tension. Can you have one without the other? Florida's history suggests it's tough, but that's why these upcoming meetings are so important.
So if you're listening and you have an opinion on this, you need to show up.
Absolutely. The first one is tomorrow, Wednesday, February 11th, at the North Indian River County Library. Then next Monday, the 16th, at the Commission Chambers. And finally, February 18th at the Intergenerational Recreation Center.
And they're doing two sessions each day.
Yes, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for all of them, which is great. They're clearly making an effort to get a lot of feedback.
Definitely a speak now or forever hold your peace moment. Okay, let's shift to something that connects us a little further away. Big news for anyone who travels out of Vero Beach Regional Airport.
This is a significant development. Starting this Thursday, February 12th, American Airlines is launching daily nonstop service to Charlotte.
And I think for a lot of people, you hear Charlotte and you think, okay, that's nice, but this isn't really about going to Charlotte, is it?
Not at all. I mean, it's a great city, but in the airline world, Charlotte is what you call a fortress hub. It's American's second largest hub in the country. We're talking connections to over 170 destinations.
So this is about plugging Vero Beach directly into the global system.
Exactly. Right now, if you want to fly to, say, London, you have to drive to Orlando or West Palm Beach first. You've got the drive, the parking, the stress.
Now you can just drive 10 minutes to our local airport, take one short flight to Charlotte, and from there you can get almost anywhere in the world.
The convenience is massive. But there's a big economic angle, too. Tourism already brings in, what, over $700 million to our area?
And this pipeline works both ways.
It does. It makes it easier for locals to get out, but it makes it infinitely easier for business investors and tourists to get in. It helps sell this area to companies and remote workers. You get the beach town life, but you're one stop away from Wall Street.
It's all connected, isn't it? Connectivity brings change. Speaking of change and innovation, let's talk about some amazing science happening at FAU Harbor Branch in Fort Pierce.
This is a great story. It combines two things that are often at odds: making money and saving the environment.
It's all about the queen conch, but not just for fritters. They're being treated as like high-tech climate tools.
They really are. It's a 12-month study to see if farming queen conch is commercially viable. But they're not just growing them for the seafood market.
They're looking at the environmental impact of the conch themselves.
Right. It ties into this concept of blue carbon.
Okay, break that down for us. What is blue carbon?
Sure. Blue carbon is just the carbon dioxide that's captured by the world's oceans and coastal ecosystems. And seagrass beds are absolute champions at this. They trap carbon in the sediment.
And the conch's role is?
Well, seagrass needs light to grow.
Yeah.
But it often gets smothered by algae and other gunk. Queen conch are basically the lawnmowers of the seagrass beds. They graze on all that stuff.
So the idea is, you farm the conch, they clean the seagrass grows better and captures more carbon.
And then eventually, you harvest some of the conch for food, creating a revenue stream. It's this dual goal, a profitable food model that also restores the ecosystem.
It's a symbiotic loop.
It is. And they're bringing in some serious partners for this. Innovasi for farming tech and the Tide Point Group to assess the market.
It's just wild to think that research happening right here could set a global standard for sustainable seafood.
It's a perfect example of local science with global impact.
From the lab to the waves. Let's talk about the action at Sebastian Inlet this past weekend, the Shore LB Throwdown Skimboarding Contest.
Skimboarding is one of those sports that looks so easy until you try it, and then you realize how technical it is.
Especially in the conditions they had. It was windy, 1 to 3 foot waves.
Which at Sebastian Inlet creates that unique backwash that the pros actually love. They had 120 people competing.
And we should give a shout out to the winners. Jackson Tenney took the pro men's title.
Yeah, he's from Indian Rocks Beach. He called Sebastian Inlet a special wave and said this was his third win there, which was a big goal for him. It shows you the respect these athletes have for our local spots.
And on the women's side,
Nicole Phillips won the pro women's division. It's really cool to see the sport getting more professionalized. The semi-pro winner even announced he's turning pro after this.
The talent pipeline is strong.
Definitely. Now, moving from sports to business, there's an event coming up on March 2nd that I think is really valuable for a certain group of our listeners.
This is the AAUW event, the American Association of University Women.
Correct. They're hosting a book review breakfast with Ellen Contreras, the local radio personality, and author Emily McHugh. They're discussing the book, The Little Girl's Guide to Entrepreneurship.
But the title is a little misleading, right? This isn't just for kids.
Not at all. The real focus of the talk is on starting businesses later in life. It's about overcoming that fear when you've already got a career, a mortgage, but you have that itch to start something new.
That's a different kind of challenge.
A huge one.
Yeah.
So they'll be talking about that. It's a free event, which is great.
Sounds worth checking out. Now, we do need to address a very serious story that has developed in the Grand Harbor community.
Yes, this is a somber note. A domestic tragedy was reported at the Fairways Circle complex. Police arrested a 29-year-old man in connection with the death of his grandmother.
It's a shocking situation, especially for a community that's usually so quiet. The details are disturbing.
Very much so. He's being held on a $400,000 bond. The charges so far are for grand theft auto and fraudulent use of credit cards, with homicide charges likely pending lab results.
The police have been very clear about one thing, though.
Yes, and this is important. They've emphasized that this was an isolated domestic incident. They want to reassure the community that there is no broader threat to the public.
Our thoughts are definitely with the family affected by that.
Absolutely.
Looking ahead to the rest of the week, though, we have a reason to set an alarm for a really, really early hour.
Thursday morning. Very early. 3:30 a.m. to be exact.
The ULA Vulcan launch.
That's right. Launching a mission for the Space Force. Now, we see rockets go up all the time, and it's easy to just sleep through them.
But this one is different.
This one is worth it for two reasons. First, a 3:30 a.m. launch is visually spectacular against a pitch-black sky. But second, the Vulcan for this mission has four solid rocket boosters strapped to it.
And solid rocket boosters mean?
They mean a lot of light and a lot of thrust. 3 million pounds of it. The exhaust from those things is incredibly bright. Since it's heading east-northeast, the view from the beaches in Vero and Sebastian should be perfect.
So if it's a clear night, it will look like a second sun rising.
A very fast-moving sun. You won't need binoculars. Just step outside, look north, and enjoy the show.
And finally, looking ahead to Saturday, It is Valentine's Day. If you haven't made plans.
This is your final warning, but don't panic. We looked at what's available, and there's something for every style and budget.
Okay, break it down for us. Top tier, I need to impress mode. Where are we going?
That's got to be Cobalt at the Kimpton. Luxury menu. We're talking caviar, stone crab, champagne. It's the whole white tablecloth ocean view experience.
All right. What if I want something that's more uniquely Florida? Maybe a bit more relaxed.
My favorite option? East Coast Tiki Tours out of Mulligan's Marina. They're doing sunset cruises. $40 a person, you get champagne. Being out on the water at sunset is hard to beat.
And for music lovers.
The American Legion Post 189, they're doing a surf and turf dinner with a Neil Diamond tribute show.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Just a classic fun night out. Steak, sweet Caroline, everybody's happy.
And let's be real, sometimes you just want comfort food.
Absolutely nothing wrong with a casual Valentine's. Woody's BBQ has a rib dinner for two. Or grab a pizza at Aunt Louise's. Honestly, low-pressure ribs can be better than a high-pressure gala.
And for parents who need to entertain the kids during the day?
The Love is in the Air, Farmer's Market at Spirit Buildity in Sebastian. During the day, Saturday, we'll have a kid zone, cooking demos. It's a really wholesome way to spend the afternoon.
I love that mix. We're launching massive rockets for the Space Force. We're farming conch to save the planet. And we're eating ribs for Valentine's Day.
It is a complex ecosystem. We are trying to balance that high-tech future, the rockets, the new flights, with our natural beauty and small-town roots. And as we saw with the beach in Oslo Road, we don't always get it perfect, but it is certainly never boring.
That is the truth. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned and join us again next week.